Good morning. May I pray? And would you join me? Holy Jesus, thank you for giving me life today, all of us, giving us breath today to live today. I pray that you would inspirit this place, inspirit our hearts, inspirit me and my words, use all my history, bringing us up to today. Lord, translate what I say to the hearts of the men, women, and youth that are here, right where they need it. Go beyond where it is, Lord. Orchestrate it, guide it, be present with it, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's let God's word be the first words spoken. Psalm 102, verses 19 and 20. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the captured ones and release them from prison. Some 32, 33 years ago, I was struggling with my sexuality. I came to the conclusion that I was a homosexual. That was my identity. After doing some gay bars, gay parties, gay organizations, trying to see if I wanted to go gay with that same gender attraction, I found out that I didn't. But yet I had the same gender attraction within me, and there was no option to ever be married. That was not an option, or ever have children. Those dreams dropped off. So I struggled intensely with even wanting to live, because I saw no hope for the future. An individual said to me, "What do you feel about praying in groups?" Now, up to this point, I knew about God. I had a faith in God. I went to church, but I did not have a personal, dynamic relationship with Jesus. And it was through a small prayer group that I met Jesus as a living, dynamic person, full of love and truth, that he was the way, and I was a yuck, and I was a sinner, and he was the Savior. Born that way. There's nothing conclusive or definitive that says a person is born that way. Nothing in the DNA or nothing in the biochemistry that is propaganda today. Nothing conclusive. So, because let's think about it for a moment. So, suppose it was in the DNA. The geneticists would be all over that to find the marker in the strand that is causing someone to be attracted to the same gender and work to fix that. If it was biochemical, the pharmaceutical companies would be all over it to create some kind of pill to alter the biochemistry in an individual to cause them not to be attracted to the same gender. We'd still be in the same moral dilemma, even if that was the case, dear ones. Even if that was the case, that there was a pill or a DNA strand, it would be some people saying, it's not broke, it doesn't need to be fixed. Well, even if it's not broken, I don't want to be this way, I want it changed. Or someone says, yes, I think it is a broken, so I want the pill or I want the genetic studies done. We'd be at that place. We'd be at the same moral dilemma for in individuals. Would it change nothing? Born that way, though, the Christian worldview, as I filter through the human condition and the living God, how do we reason this? In Romans 5, verses 12, 13. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all because all sinned before the law was given. Sin was in the world. Our Christian worldview, sin has contaminated everything from the weather to our relationships to the way we think to our emotions. Everything has been contaminated by sin. We're all born that way. All of us are born that way. Sexuality included. Because it would be really irrational, too, to think that everything was affected by sin except sexuality. That, whatever is going on in sexuality, is pure and holy and good as it is. Whatever appetite or flavor it is, it's all good. Ridiculous, particularly in our Christian thinking. There's a divine design and intent for our sexuality. So, sexuality is included in being contaminated by sin. So we have the sin orientation that we're all born with. Then I say, there's this big buffet of sin options out there. And there's a buffet table of money. And all the sin options that are available to us to sin with money. Then there's the buffet table of food. And all the things we can do with food. Then there's the pride table. And there's the table of sex stuff. And all the buffet options that are available to us out there. Sin orientation within us. The big buffet of sin options out there. And then there's another ingredient. I say it's chance, choice, and circumstances. Now, I'm not going to mess in that word of chance. I recognize the authority and sovereignty of God. That's not what I'm messing with when I say chance. But I'm going to use the word chance, choices, and circumstances. Sin orientation, buffet of sin options out there. Chance, choice, and circumstances. Accidents, deaths, sicknesses, circumstances, birth order, alcoholism, choices, other people's sins against me, my gender self as a male, my gender self as a female, sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, violence. All these chances and circumstances that are like the constellations in the sky. Truly, when individuals come to see me, the issues that bring them in there are like the constellation of factors, like the constellation of stars. They aren't set for anybody. All these chances and circumstances that you all endure, even in your life, that your sin option, sin orientation, has probably brought unto you one, two, or three life-dominating sin problems that you still maybe struggle with, some that are maybe dead and gone that you thought you'd never be able to get rid of, and there they are, they're dead and gone. Some that live on, the residuals of them. Some of them flare up again. But we all have these things, the way our past has affected us, our thinking, our teaching, our spiritual growing up, the lack of love, emotional, physical affection, all these things that go in, the sin orientation, the buffet options, and the choice, chances, and circumstances. For me, sexual abuse, molestation for 6 years by a close friend of the family, repeatedly over time, affected my soul. Three older brothers and a father, very athletic, very big in stature, grunters. I was very, very different from them in my interest and my personalities. Chance, choice, and circumstances. Messages as I perceive through my personality, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I like them? This is what it means to be a man. I'm not a man then. How do I become a man? Who's going to teach me? Who's going to learn? How do I connect with the boys like they're connecting with one another in the backyard and I'm sitting with my elbows on the kitchen window wishing I could belong with them, that they'd call me into them, that I would push through my fears and connect with them. But instead, what grew in my heart was bitterness and hatred and anger to my male counterparts, fearing them, dreading them, filling myself with bitterness because of what they propped up as what it meant to be a man. I started rejecting it and having contempt for it, making a mockery of it. There was even a point in my life when I slightly toyed with transgenderism, whereas I didn't want to be a male anymore, I wanted to be a female. Because I saw that I had everything it took to be a female and nothing it took to be a man. So I prayed, God, please change me into a girl. Didn't happen. So I accept that I was supposed to be a boy, but I didn't know how to be one. I didn't know what it was like. Here is this man involving in sex activities with me, and here's this longing to be connected with men, and I find this place, oh, this is where, this is how, this is what I'm meant for. This is how I fit in. This is how I connect with men. This is where it's at. Chances, choices, and circumstances. The choices of others against me. My own choices to be anger and bitter and contemptful and make a mockery and be fearful. All of those things, legitimate things that made me fearful. Perceived things. All these constellation of things coupled with my sin orientation and the big buffet of sin options that are out there to comfort me, to bring me wholeness. God knows that we all have the capacity for a same-gender attraction. That's why he wrote in Leviticus, don't do these things. Because he looked down and said, you know what? Humankind has the capacity to have sex with animals, dead people, lots of people, parents, siblings, all of those things. And so just because they have the capacity doesn't mean it's okayed by him. He knew we had the capacity. He said, no, don't do that, don't do this. Here's the divine design and intent for human relating and sexual relating. I haven't done this before, but I felt it very strong in the Lord to show some video clips to illustrate these points. I think the Lord's trying to perhaps awaken compassion in us. Because this real us and them thing going on in the world today, in politics and social activism, a very us-them kind of thing. And I think he wants to call the church to identify more closely with persons with same-gender attraction or who are gay-identified. Not a condoning sense, but to raise up in a compassion as Jesus had on me, as Jesus had on you in your buffet option and your sin options. And the chances and circumstances that buffeted you and your choices. I think he wants to us to identify with the broken out there in humanity. So, this first clip is from The Lion King. It's an animated film. And I think it is one of the most spiritually enriching films I have ever seen. I watch it and I cry when I see it. I think you're going to be captivated by it. Let me give you the setup of it. Mufasa is the king, and he's a lion, and he's the king. And he's got a son, Simba, who is in line for the throne. Now, people, I want you to put your spiritual ears on, okay? I'm not going to explain all this to you. You got to put your spiritual eyes. I'll tie some things in. Then there's this Uncle Scar, and he's bad. He's evil. He wants the throne. So he's got to knock out Mufasa, and he's got to knock out Simba. All right? So that's this first clip. So I want you to watch this, and I want you to listen how chance, choices, circumstances, and Satan gets in there, and he gives you messages, and this is what happens. You start to lose your identity. So watch this first clip.
Little roar. Puh.
Clips are a little longer than I wanted. We had a hard time just condensing them, so. But. The uncle is setting up Simba to be trampled to death by a herd of cattle that he set off. Already, put your spiritual ears on. Setting an attack to destroy, to kill. Could you turn the volume up a little bit more, Brian?
Oh, look, sire. The herd is on the move.
Mufasa, quick. Stampede in the gorge. Simba's down there.
Simba?
Father is on the way! Hold on!
Hurry!
Simba!
Don't leave us hanging. Don't leave us hanging. Trauma coming into someone's life. Goes on. That's all you got. Okay. The best part's coming. What happens next is that Simba is grieving over the body of his deceased father who was trampled to death. He's grieving. And Scar, the uncle, comes in and says, "What did you do, Simba? What did you do?" And he's helpless. He goes, "You know what you need to do? What if your mother finds out? What is she going to think? What is everybody going to think what you did? I don't know. What should I do?" "Run. You should run, Simba. You should run." So Simba just takes off running. And Scar sends his hyena friends after him and says, "Kill him. Put your spiritual ears on." Sometimes trauma comes into an individual's life, and it's not so horrific as a stampede or years of sexual molestation. Sometimes they're subtle words. "You did this. It's your fault. You're ugly. You'll never amount to anything." They can be little things, or they can be big things. But God designed us with the desire to be whole. Our psyche, our bodies, everything desires to be whole in our relationships, our health, our thinking. Everything to be driven to be whole. And when we have these blocks and these traumas and our thinking and our feelings and all that, it prevents one from pursuing wholeness. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit. And what I do in conjunction with that is help individuals remove those blocks. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. Remove those blocks so they can walk in wholeness. But to remember, there's always a reparative drive in us to heal things, to fix things, to be satisfied and full in what we're doing. There from the clip goes on that Simba escapes the death of the hyenas and goes through the desert and goes through a wilderness. And finally he runs upon a boar, I'll call him a pig and a weasel. And they take him in, the pig and the weasel. They take him in. Hakuna Matata, forget about the past. Play. Enjoy. Forget everything. You belong to us now. You're one of us. Here's what you'll eat. Here's what you'll sing. Here's what we do day by day. And Simba forgets about that he's the son of the king. That he's an heir to the throne. He forgets his divine design and intent. And he runs with a pig and a weasel and eats worms. Proverbs 27:7 says, "He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry even what is bitter tastes sweet." Put on your spiritual ears. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Let's put that in food terms. It's Thanksgiving. You're done eating. But Grandma comes into the room with a slice of pumpkin pie with a dab of whipped cream on it and offers it to you. And you go, couldn't do it. Looks good, tastes good, but no thank you, I'm satisfied. For an individual who has been homeless for days, weeks, months, they would go behind a restaurant, climb into the dumpster, take a chicken bone out, bite the meat off of that bone, and it will taste sweet. And don't you try to take it from them. It is their right to it. It is their sweetness. It is nourishment to their soul. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Now we can put that in emotional terms or relational terms or family terms or sexual terms, whatever you want to say. And things are offered to us. And they might look good, taste good, feel good. Perhaps something inside of us says no. Satisfied. Not good. No. But somebody who's been wounded, lied to, offended, contaminated by sin themselves, they will climb into the dumpster of life. And what they find there will be sweet to their souls. It will taste good. Our genetics do tell of our divine design and intent. Good science looks at something and says, what's the design of it? And that's what will tell the intent of it. Our genetics do speak to us. As God says, it's very obvious what's going on here. I use the glass bowl analogy to drive it a little further home. Let's say I want to create this crystal bowl for my grandmother. So I create this idea in my head, and with my own hands, I blow the glass to shape a bowl. I add some color to it, shape it, make it wavy, just how I pictured it, just how I designed it, and I created it. And I think, you know what? This is going to go on her mahogany dining room table, sit under the chandelier, and maybe we'll put some candies in it or fruit in it. But that's its purpose. I created it. I designed it. I set its intent. Now that bowl can be picked up from the table. And we could scoop the dog food out from the bag, set it on the ground, and a dog could eat from it. Yes, it has the capacity to be a bird bath, to be a bird feeder, to store nuts and bolts in. It has the capacity. But we have to look to the Creator for the design and intent. That's the plumb line, people. That is the plumb line in which we're to filter everything that we're about down here. In our thinking, our feelings, our relationship, the past and its effect on us, our future, our behaviors, all of it. Every soul. What's the path out? Believe and repent, in a nutshell. I just posted on Facebook, Prodigal Ministries Facebook, this arrow. It's like a street sign arrow that has the road going here and then the arrow coming down this way. And that is the perfect illustration of repentance. I'm going this way, but God interrupted and he said, go this way. Turn around, do something different, go a different way, go my way. You were going your way this way, turn and go my way. Perfect illustration of repent. Believe and repent. Romans 1:21 says the path in to brokenness, and alludes to, if not speaks to, that when these things happen, sexual brokenness happens. These are the symptoms of this path of humanity, of man and womankind. But the way out, I'm going to reverse it. Praise the Creator. So you can look up Romans 1:21 through 25. See the path in. Reverse it. Seems to me logical. Then there's the path out. Praise the Creator. I am not the boss. I am not the boss of my sexuality. I am not the boss of my relationships. Somebody who created it, the glass bowl maker, said, here's your design and here's your tent. I'm going to play powerless. I'm going to play stupid because I am. Exchange the lie for a truth. Jer, you had a lot of lies in you about what it means to be a man, about sex, about men, about women, about yourself, about God. Filter through it. Filter it through and exchange those lies. Give them to me and I'll give you the truth. Read my word. Worship me. Study. Physical purity. Physical purity. That's all I'll say about that. Physical purity. But I do have in here, members, body, be a living sacrifice to Jesus. Give glory to God. Claim, I am a fool versus I am wise. Be weak and you become strong. It's this dichotomy God has us in. You must be empty to be poured into. You must die to live. You must bury to grow. So too, you must say, I am a fool. Teach me. I'm stupid. Live in the light. Give thanks to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Thanks to God. He's so central to worshiping him. Be wise. What makes up our sexuality, do you think? If I ask you that question, it's like, what makes up sexuality? What goes into it? You know, somewhat of a difficult question. How do you explain what sexuality is? I see sexuality as our thinking. You can't be a sexual being without thinking, your sexual identity without thinking. It's about feelings and emotions, yes? It's about relationships. Who I am with another dude, I'm a gender person. Who I am with women, I'm a gender person. How I relate, my wife, children, all that, all relational stuff. Goes into my sexuality, behaviors, certainly sexuality is behavioral. It's about my past, what I learned about sex, being male, being female, heterosexual sex, homosexual. It's about the future. If I have goals in the future, am I making decisions today that are going to get me to that goal? Whether it's to be married or not. But am I making decisions for that, or physical purity? What goes into sexuality? The physical, medical. You know, we've been contaminated by sin, so there's some medical things that go on, that go into it. But certainly the physical, and certainly spiritual. That sex is a reflection. Somehow, there's this spiritual symbolism and connection about sex and intercourse and God's intercourse with us, and his intimacy with us, and his intensity with us. And his adoration of us and us of him. All that's so reflected. So what we think of spiritually also goes into our sexuality. Now those eight areas I just mentioned, are those changeable? Can we change our thinking about men, women, self, God, sex? Yes. Can we change our feelings about things? Are there things you once hated now that you love? Are there things you once loved now you despise? Are there people groups? Your feelings can change. People have backed up emotions, deep grief, deep pain that blocks them from living fully. And once we get that up and out, then they can be whole. But our feelings makes up our sexuality. Relationships, our past and how it's affected us, our future and decisions, our physical, medical, and our spiritual. All of those are changeable, and all those go into our sexuality. That's what Jesus is into. All of us, the whole person of us, to be surrendered to him, for him to redeem and transform and change, and us live it out. Change is possible. Now with that, some of us will die with our life-dominating sin problem and struggling with it and travailing and praying over it. And it peeping its head up and it's peeping its head down. I'm not going to live in a la-la land. Some people work to overcome their same gender attraction and nothing happens or very little. Some, drawing parallels, some women will never be pregnant, and they have to live with their infertility and the grief of that for their lifetime, perhaps. And sometimes it goes away and they're satisfied, and then some things make it come to the surface. Some of us have born with some illnesses, genetic conditions, whatever. We have to contend with that through life. Some of us have been adopted, and we will never know our biological parents, and we carry that through life. There's things that we do in reality we have to contend through life. Some are done away with, and some we live with. For some, there's residual same-gender attraction. And that's why God gave us this family. Full of grace, full of truth, full of purity, sometime to rebuke, to reprimand, always to embrace and love and feed the Word of God and feed communion and feed relationship and reflect the holiness and goodness of male and female and marriage and family. For those of us that have these residual things that we walk through life with, here is what Jesus has given you. His very Spirit within you, His very Spirit coming upon you, and the family full of the Spirit. The next Lion King clip. We'll take a pause. I hope it goes all the way. Now this one is sin. There's a Holy Spirit figure in here. And it's the monkey. Rafiki, the monkey. He's the Holy Spirit. And we got Simba. And so again, put your spiritual ears on about the Father, the Son, the image. And remember that Simba has been not living in his true identity, his divine design and intent. He got caught up with a pig and a weasel, and he lived out of that place. He comes to his senses.
She's wrong. I can't go back. What would it prove anyway?
Going
won't
back
change
to our
anything.
Past is painful sometimes.
You can't change the past. You said you'd always be there for me. But you're not.
Anger towards God?
It's because of me. It's my fault.
I'm wrong.
It's my...
Oh. He's got hiccups. Why downcast, oh my soul? Holy Spirit's watching. He is singing squash bananas.
Come on, will you cut it out?
Can't cut it out. It'll go right back.
Creepy little monkey. Will you stop following me? Who are you?
The question is, who are you?
I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I know who you are. Shh, come here. It's a secret.
Enough already. What is that supposed to mean, anyway?
It means you're a baboon, and I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait!
Now who's chasing who?
You know my father?
Correction, I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope, wrong again. He's alive, and I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way. Come on.
Follow the Holy Spirit, he knows the way. Interesting that the filmmakers actually take him through these vines and thorns and darkness to go to meet himself. That's a rough journey. Sometimes it's a rough journey.
Would you slow down?
Tripping and falling along the way in our pursuit of wholeness.
Stop!
Let's go ahead and play the third and last one. I won't even comment here. We'll just play the last one.
Oh. Sure do, you Mufasa's boy.
Oh. To tell you this.
Don't dawdle. Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait.
Come on!
Would you slow down?
Stop!
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father!
It does go on, because the Holy Spirit, the monkey, Rafiki, starts teaching him about going back to his past. He hits him actually once on the head with his rod, and then he does it another time, but Simba ducks, and he says, you can learn from your past. You don't have to live it over and over again and let it hurt you. You can learn from it and move on. So he reflects him over and over again. Go back to who you are. Find the reflection of... Look at your father, your heavenly father, and you'll find who you are in there. You'll find your reflection. His design and his intent lives in you. Lives in you. So maybe I've changed your whole view of The Lion King, and you can't wait to go home and rent it and see the whole thing and put your spiritual eyes on. Do it. Do it. It's really, really good. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope that illustrated it. And hopefully this gives you a context to even prepare for this evening and responding to some really challenging questions that you have already presented to me, because we're going to hit those head on. As you can tell, I'm pretty direct. I'm pretty kind of raw, kind of out there, but it's so needed. It's so, so needed. I'd like to finish with, close with God's word being the last word. In Philippians 3, 10 through 16, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel right there to me. It's dying and living. It's dying and living. If you want to know Jesus, you got to know death to self. You've got to. Not that I have already obtained all this, already been made perfect, but I press on toward my goal, Jesus, to win the prize, wholeness. That's my added on. For which Christ took hold of me. Jesus, you took hold of me. Now I'm holding on to your robe and I'm not letting go until I find out why you took hold of me. So we're just going around in a circle with one another. He's holding on to me, I'm holding on to him, he's holding on to me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Not the forgetting that's amnesia. It's the forgetting that says I'm no longer identifying with my past. I'm straining towards now what this image is and who you are and what that is. For which you have called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And at some point you think differently. You're confused about. You're still asking God why. You still want an answer. You still don't know. God says live up to what you already know. What I've already told you. And that which is unclear to you, I will make that clear to you in time. Just live up to what you've already attained. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. You know, as Matt Chandler, who said that if the church is not a refuge for those who are sexually broken, then it is not a refuge for anyone. I would add something to that as well. If the church is not a refuge and a rescue to those who are sexually broken, then how can it be a rescue and a refuge for anyone? So it's vitally important that we all understand that, you know, we're all broken in some way. It just manifests itself. You often hear me say here at this church, we're all genetically predispositioned to expire some way, somehow. We are aging. We're old. But Jerry did a wonderful job pointing out that we all are genetically predispositioned to sin. Can they identify what's wrong with us? It's all wrong with us. Amen? So today I thought we would close out with just a little bit different venue by we do. Actually, I'm going to ask Jerry to come and stand up front here, if you would. Jerry, would you? And we want to gather an altar prayer. Because I want to invite everyone to come forward that wants to come forward. And we're going to... We're just going to pray. We're going to ask God to move. So let's all stand. I know I'm taking you out of your comfort zone, but I'm allowed to do that once or twice a year. This would be the first time this year, right? And put hands on Jerry. This man has meant immense a lot to me. Let's pray. God, we claim we are broken. We're messed up. And Father, even after you saved us, after you've called us unto yourself, you have set us on the path toward heaven. We still allow things to enter into our life that are not good, that are not holy, that are not righteous. Things that harm and hurt. Sometimes, Lord, we take an attitude that we are so much better than someone else, that because of their sin, they're the worst of sinners, and we would be the best of the best. Lord, I pray that that attitude would not be a prevalent attitude in my life or the life of the members of this congregation. So, Father, we just open ourselves up and say we are broken, but we know that you have fixed us and you are fixing us. We praise you for that. We pray for your blessings upon Jerry, his family. They're wonderful people. And, Lord, there are so many lives that this ministry touches, people that we often can't have association with because of time constraints and because of just demographics. But there are people that he can reach, that he can touch, that he can be Jesus to, that we will never be able to. And together, Father, you've called us to come alongside men and women like him to lift them up to you, to enable them, to send them, in a sense, to in a missionary type of setting, in a setting where the gospel is not thought so well of, but Lord, we just see a great evidence of the gospel in his life. So we pray for your blessings upon him, and we just ask as a church family that we would recognize how broken we are, and we recognize that the one who fixed us and is fixing us stands ready to fix and to continue to fix those that you call to yourself. It's not your will that any would perish, but all would truly come to repentance. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We ask for your blessings in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, just a few household items that we need to do today before we dismiss. Again, the usher is going to be receiving an offering. If you weren't able to participate in that now and you would like to give as you leave today, you're certainly welcome to. The counting folks have been instructed that this next set of money that will come into the coffers here will go directly to Jerry and M. Tonight, there's a set of about 10, 11 questions that we're going to be focusing on. I do have those questions. They're in my office. Your pastor, in his hurry this morning after busting two buttons on my shirt, was was in such a hurry to get home and get another shirt on because I don't think that you wanted to see that I'm not one of those shavers. Too much information? All right. But in a hurry, I left those papers. If you would like to see the questions, you're certainly welcome to. Brother Tony, it will be available to do some things with the youth tonight if you don't want to be involved with this. But I really feel that the Lord is just going to bless tonight. He's going to anoint tonight. I'm looking forward to opportunity to be up here with Jerry and to honestly approach this and look at this in a biblical way that we might answer your questions, because invariably it is touching all of our lives in some way, shape, or form. Maybe through a son, maybe through a daughter, maybe through a niece, a nephew, maybe through even a parent. I mean, this is something that happens. And so we want to be honest about it, and we want to see what God's word really says, how we should respond to it. And I think you'll be blessed. So I want you to right now say, I'm not promising Brother Mark I'm being back, but I'm going to promise God that I'll be back, okay? All right, what else do we need to share? I do one other thing. I know I'm talking too much. I didn't get to preach this morning. Maybe I'll say something tonight. Let me say this. We have our Jubilee celebration. It'll be July or June the 7th. We have some special things planned for that. Tom Pendergrass is going to be preaching in the 2:30 service that we're having that day. We have some special singing that'll be going on that night. I spoke with Pastor Bob yesterday. He is going to try to be here as well. There'll be some other testimonies as well from some of our charter folks, charter members. So just June 7th. June 6th is the actual day. We're going to be here June 7th to celebrate. We're going to dig out the time capsule that's been put there. It's 1983 that was put there, but we're going to dig it out. We'll just say it's 50 years anyway. So, all right, brother, go ahead.
On that note, we will have a sign-up sheet next week for different side dishes and stuff that we need people to bring, so check back with us next week on that. And then the Indianapolis Missions Trip is coming up just right after that, a week after that. So the Sunday school classes, I know, got lists of food items to bring for the team to help out with the meals for that. So if you can work on that, and then those of you that may be interested in going, didn't get a packet of information, I'll have those at the Connection Center on your way out this morning. You can stop by and grab one. If you're a guest this morning, as we mentioned when we started, we're thrilled you've come. Fill out the Connection card, stop by the Connection Center this morning, and we've got a gift for you and your family, and we're thrilled that you're here this morning with us.
All right. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we might ask or think, to him be the glory in his church through Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.